Hey, everybody, it's Alan, and it's Politics Day, and we're going to talk amongst ourselves, and I'd love to hear from you no matter what you're thinking. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that I want to talk about today. There are two things. Number one, there is this potential. It is just fascinating me that, you know, Andrew Cuomo is a guy you don't fool with. And the other day, Kirsten Gillibrand, our United States senator, got public and said that she was going to lead in 2016 the charge for Hillary to become, Hillary Clinton, of course, to become the candidate in 2016. Now, I think it's fair to assume that she and Clinton are close allies, and it would be very unlikely that she would go public with that if it weren't so. Then the second piece in this puzzle, and it is a puzzle, is that the president has now been informed by Mrs. Clinton that she will not campaign for the president. And that's a eye-opener, isn't it, to some of you? And then, of course, there's the idea that Andrew Cuomo, who seems unstoppable in terms of his approval rating and everything else, everybody thinks that indelible ink over over his office is a sign that says Andrew in 2016. Now, I know a little bit about Andrew Cuomo, and I know when he doesn't like something, he lets you know about it. I've certainly been on the other end of those phone calls. And what I can tell you is this, that when Gillibrand said the other day that she was going to be the first one to sign the petition to have Hillary run, I would bet that somebody made a phone call to Senator Gillibrand that night, if not directly from the governor, then one of the allies, and I suspect it was, and it could have been from the governor. So now we are talking about a very interesting sort of potentially fratricidal fight here. Why, I ask you, why did Hillary Clinton say that she would not campaign for the guy she has been working for all of this time? You'll remember Doris Kearns Goodwin, and she talked a long time about how brilliant Lincoln was and bringing the former rivals together and working in the cabinet together. And I have a feeling that that's what was intended by President Obama. So I want to hear what you have to say about the relationship then between Obama and Hillary Clinton and then Governor Cuomo and Hillary Clinton and of course, Senator Gillibrand, who is, you know, at the sort of the top of the heap here. It's fascinating stuff. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Then I have a second thing I want to talk about today, and that is, and I hope that you'll all get involved in this, and that is the Supreme Court of the United States. Because, you see, I think that what's happened in this country is that the Supreme Court has sort of been taken over by five very right-wing partisan, and I mean in the worst kinds of way. I think jurisprudence is out the door, and I think what we've been talking about now is a segment of the Republican Conservative Party in the United States that has taken over, and I can give you three specific cases that I will. Citizens United, which means, hey, you got money, you're in the 1%, you spend it now, and the United States Supreme Court is going to make sure that you get your ups, and you're going to run it. The second thing, of course, is Gore versus Bush. There are many people, I'm one of them, who thinks that was a robbed election. And yet, you know, it happened, and that's two. Then there's health care. It does appear right now, based on what we have heard, that the health care law is going to be thrown out by the same 5-4 jokers who have been doing it in the past, and that will be the end of that. And then, of course, we saw the incredibly stupid 5-4 on strip searches. Now, you remember what that story is. And by the way, let me give you the numbers so that you'll be ready for me here. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I want to hear from you. I don't think I should be doing the only one who's doing the talking. But here comes this guy is riding down the road with his wife. They get pulled over to the side. The wife is driving, but she's okay. But he hasn't paid, according to them, he hasn't paid a fine. Well, it turns out he did pay the fine, but he also had to go to jail for 7 days. There was a total humiliation. If you actually hear him on the air, and we've had him on the air talking about, they're looking in absolutely every one of his apertures, having him pick up his most private parts to see whether he was hiding something underneath it all. I don't know about you folks, but I was infuriated when I saw that. And they say, hey, well, here's the rationale for that. 1-800-348-2551. Here's the rationale for that one. That is, you know, we have a big prison industry in the United States. We can't expect them to, you know, cross every T and dot every I. And we have to give them their head when it comes to doing any of this that they want to do. There is nothing that won't work. Okay, look, that's a lot to talk about. To recapitulate. The big fight between potential fight between Hillary Clinton and Andrew Cuomo, the idea that the Supreme Court of the United States has now taken over. We have a Congress, but it doesn't apparently matter. We now have a Supreme Court where five guys are running the country, and they are running it. You want to talk about Occupy Albany, Occupy Wall Street. They are running it from that perch right there. So let's go to Chris in New York. All right, Chris, you're on.
Hello?
You're on, Chris.
How you doing? I just want to make a couple of comments. I listen to both sides of, you know, the liberals, and I listen to the conservatives. And I'm a Hispanic, and I'm proud to say that, you know, if I'm not doing anything wrong, that officer of the law can question me.
You mean take you to jail, put you there for 7 days, to ask you to pick your genitals up so that there's nothing underneath it, look in your apertures, and when you've done nothing wrong?
I lived in the inner city of Manhattan.
Yeah.
I lived in Albany, New York, Troy.
Yeah, me too.
You know, when you present yourself a certain way, you're not guilty.
Oh, you mean, driving while black or driving while Hispanic or driving while...
I'm Hispanic.
But that doesn't convince me of anything. That just convinces me you say you're Hispanic. But
You want to know what my last name is?
No.
Okay, it's Christopher Bartholomew
I just said no.
Okay, no, I'm not ashamed. You see, what I'm trying to say is, if you have nothing to hide, present yourself in a very respectful manner to everybody.
Well, he did.
I still come from the family values of where I open up the door to my elders. Okay, it's a respect thing. Now, obviously, if my elders lose respect for me, I'm going to stand up for myself in a very respectful manner.
I would hope so.
Okay, I have that respect. I came from a very religious family.
Okay.
I'm not a Bible thumper myself.
Hey, Chris.
I have certain values.
Chris, there are five people behind you. We've given you your say.
All right, now, as far as Cuomo, I want to tell you one thing that you will like, okay? I didn't vote for Cuomo.
Yeah.
But I live in the state of New York.
Yes.
And right now, he is doing an impeccable job for me.
Okay.
Okay? I vote for what's right. I did not vote for him. I'm very happy with what he's doing.
Right.
Okay? But... I listened to both sides, and my heart started beeping and pounding when I had to get on the phone, because I was like, this is false. This is
What's false? You mean if the Secretary of State runs for President of the United States, that would be false?
No. If I had to choose right now,
very quickly, Chris, go ahead.
Someone to run. It would definitely, you know, I do like what Cuomo's doing. I've actually got to feel
well,
it.
Chris,
I got to
Chris,
see.
Just answer the question: Cuomo what? or Mrs. Clinton?
Cuomo for sure.
Okay, Chris, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Tommy in Neversink. Okay, Tommy, you got to make it fast. We're
Alan,
running out of time. Yeah, go ahead.
Are you aware that Clarence Thomas's wife is an active Tea Party?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that's inappropriate?
Yes.
For now, my next point is, if they throw this health care law out, there must be a lot of Republicans and Tea Partiers that are now enjoying the benefits of these laws. you know, they're able to keep their kids on their insurance till they're 30.
Well, it's a long story.
Are they really going to be happy?
You don't mean 30. You mean 26.
26.
I don't know. I mean, I think that the one thing this law does is give tremendous benefits to a lot of very poor people who deserve them, who haven't been taken care of for a long time.
Yeah.
I think if more had been given to the middle class, you would have found more reaction to this. Hey, Tommy, we're up against a break. We appreciate your call. Thanks a lot. Yeah. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, glaucoma management, and specialty contact lens fitting, 845-336-6310. Mango Tree Imports, Boston Spa, New York, featuring fairly traded homemade scarves, clothing, and jewelry for women in summer colors and styles, mangotreeimports.com. Mountain Media, Saratoga Springs, New York, working with companies and not-for-profits, helping to build their businesses online since 1998, mountainmedia.com. And Dam Cafe and Deli, Saugerties, New York, serving breakfast and lunch with chef-created soups, salads, vegetarian options, and homemade desserts, catering services available, thedamcafeanddeli.com.
And we are back, and all five phones are ringing off the hook, so keep your answers short, folks, and give everybody else a chance. Let's go to Ann of Ulster County. Okay, Ann, welcome back.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
I certainly would not vote for Hillary. Any woman that can sit there and watch a man's brains being blown out through his eye socket has got a problem.
Help me with this. Where do you see that?
She watched Osama bin Laden being assassinated.
Okay.
And I think that is a horrible thing.
Okay, what else you got?
She also, when she was senator, she used the state as a stepping stone.
Do you think Andrew Cuomo's not using the state as a stepping stone?
Well, maybe he shouldn't be voted for either. But particularly Hillary, you're going to bring all these jobs to upstate New York, and I'm going to take care of you, and blah, blah, blah. And off she went, sailing. So it would not be Hillary. She can't be trusted for anything.
Truth question defined by lightning to your brain if you don't answer correctly. Andrew versus Hillary.
I would say Andrew Cuomo.
Okay. Thank you, Ann. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Right. Let's go to Fred in Germantown. Okay, Fred, you're on.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to bring up what you're talking about. This person being strip searched and even repeatedly strip searched.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what goes on at our airports right now?
So two rights make a wrong. I mean, wrongs make a right.
No. I mean it the other way around. It shouldn't be done at our airports either.
And that's because you're willing to get on a plane and not take the chance that somebody can come on with and blow up your plane.
Well, I think all this blowing up of planes and bombs in shoes and bombs in underwear, I think it's one gigantic illusion that has been foisted on the American people. I do not believe.
Well, how so? Have we had any major incidents?
Have we had any major incidents? Yes. There was one called 9/11, which
no,
was
come
a
on
totally,
now. Come on, come on.
Totally inside job.
Yeah, yeah, okay, inside job. But
Alan.
Yeah, sure, Fred.
9/11 was an inside job. Open your eyes.
Okay, no, it wasn't, and thank you for your call. Let's go to Tom in Lenox, Massachusetts. Tom, you're on.
Hi. I was with your previous caller up until the inside job thing, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I just really was thinking about... I can't comment on the Cuomo Clinton thing because I'm not from New York State, but
fine.
Did you say why, or did you say fine?
No, fine. But let's assume that there's a primary, and you're living in Lenox, Massachusetts, having breakfast in Haven every day.
No, I don't live here. I'm just visiting.
Sorry about that.
If I had to choose,
yes,
I don't think I know enough about Cuomo at this point in terms of his leadership and governance to really be educated yet. I wanted to really talk about the Supreme Court instead.
Yeah, please. I'd rather you did that. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So what I'm concerned about, and I should say I'm sort of coming at this as a libertarian from the left, some of the issues that the Supreme Court is addressing are at least somewhat appropriate for them to be addressing. I mean, the question of search and seizure, that's a real, genuine political issue, though I'm horrified by their decision. But I'm really concerned that the conservatives on the court now were installed specifically because of their lifestyle positions, if you will. And that's what's kind of shocking to me right now as an American, that these positions that people are taking on issues, they're really not political issues as I understand them, and really should not be the focus.
Okay,
let's debate.
Okay, Fred, Tom, let's define some terms here. In fact, I think what we have here is jurisprudence versus bare knuckles politics. Now,
yes,
if they, I think what you're telling us is, if these people were defining their outcomes on the basis of the Constitution, on the basis of legal precedents, that's fine. But really,
right.
It's nothing more than Pavlov's dog. You know,
That's right. They're and they're responding to their perceived understanding of what their mission was, I guess, when they were installed by the likes of Bush. And it's frightening to me. It really is. I mean, I can accept that I would disagree with a decision of the Supreme Court from time to time.
Sure.
As long as it was like the Gore Bush one. I mean, I certainly disagreed with that. But I don't think it was lifestyle decisions that determined it. I would like to think that.
What do you mean lifestyle? What do you mean lifestyle?
I don't think it was. I shouldn't say lifestyle. I'm not convinced it was ideology driven. It may have been.
Really? You had a bunch of five Republicans counting out what I consider to be America's, voting and overturning an election. The one thing we have in this country is, is peaceful transition of government.
Right.
And so I would disagree with you. Yeah.
I do feel that way, but I'm not convinced it was at the time their strong rightist. Well, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong about that.
You're wrong. I
right.
think you're wrong.
I don't want to be wrong. I'd like to be right. So,
yeah, well, but it's a very dangerous precedent. A very dangerous precedent. You know what? If the five had voted on the side that were not their political interests, their partisan interests, then I would have said, well, that would have been interesting.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, Tom, I want to let everybody in. I do appreciate your call. Thanks, Tom. Bye.
Good work.
Yeah, thank you. Let's go to Dina in Hopewell Junction. Dina, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey.
I wanted to comment on the gentleman who called saying that he was Hispanic. I work with people of all ethnic groups,
sure.
And Hispanics can be white, they can be brown. And I know people personally who are of Mexican descent and they're brown, and that's a problem for them in terms of their other family relationships and how they're looked at in society.
And how they're picked up by the police.
Yes, and so, I mean, he didn't identify it in that sense, but, and also Puerto Ricans who are brown, and I've worked with people who said they just had problems getting their business started and things like that. So that's a very broad term. I am black, African American.
Yes.
I have been stopped driving legally. I have no outstanding tickets, no fines, and I was just pulled over for a registration check.
Driving while black.
Yes, well, yes, that's it specifically. But I just wanted to comment on that because when you say Hispanic or something, that could mean people of various shades. If you look at the census, they'll say Hispanic, and they think they ask if you're white Hispanic or black Hispanic or something like that. So that's very broad, and I guess people know that already.
Dina, I love your call. I appreciate it very much.
Thank
it adds a lot to the whole thing. Thanks.
Thank you for all that you do, Alan.
Thanks, Dina.
All right,
okay.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to James in New York. James, you're on.
Hi. I would go with Hillary, and I agree with you with what you're proposing there, that the Supreme Court has really went over the waterfalls against people's rights, and like the tax person you had on there, David Wolf, there was talking about the division of the poor people paying for everything.
On alternative radio, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And, And when I was a kid, I never really got along with my father, but he had told me some stories that I really listened to. He was one of the organizers up in Chicago for the unions, and he told me about the goons and some of the people getting shot. And then he told me he was coming home on a train once, because he was traveling around when he was a young kid, and that's how they traveled around with no money. They went on the trains, and he stopped in Washington, D.C., where the veterans were having a
A bonus, the bonus march.
Yeah, and they got fired upon.
And you bet. And you know who ran that? Douglas MacArthur.
Yeah, the guy who was their general, who they followed in. But I don't want to get excited and everything.
Yeah, Douglas MacArthur, you know who else was there? Who always regretted it for the rest of his life? Dwight David Eisenhower.
It was amazing. My father hated Eisenhower for that.
Yeah.
He wasn't a veteran, but he hated him for that because he actually seen what was going on. And right now it brings tears to my eyes. Just thinking of that, my father.
James, I thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much. You've added something. Thanks a lot. Okay, let's go to Celeste in Yonkers. Okay, Celeste, you're on.
Hi, Alan. This is Celeste. I do want to comment on the issue of the individual in New Jersey. I think with respect to that, there are two different issues. One is the issue of putting someone in jail for a traffic offense.
For 7 days.
I understand that, which is heavy-handed. There is another issue here, which is the personal safety of the people who work in the jail and the other inmates in that jail. If no one ever hid anything under their genitals, believe me, no one would be looking under their genitals.
So, Celeste, let's assume you're right. Is there any...
Alan, yes. I can guarantee you I'm right. Nobody
I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight with you. I just want to say, let's assume you're right. Let's move that along and say, is there any limit on what, based on what you're saying to us, can be done to an individual in our society who has done nothing?
However, Alan, you have two different issues here. He has done something, and that is that he has a traffic offense.
No.
He does not have it. Absolutely.
Excuse me, Celeste. He does not have a traffic offense. That was messed up on the part of the courts. They never suppressed what had been paid. So,
Alan, that happens all the time.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
No,
because,
it doesn't.
Alan, you're interrupting me, and it's not nice to do that.
Oh, I see. And you're not nice? Go ahead. Finish it up.
What I was saying is, there are lots of times in the courts things will get mixed up, and that's to be expected. It happens. It's bureaucracy. And so, therefore, putting someone in jail for a traffic offense is very heavy-handed.
7 days. Heavy-handed is right.
I agree with you.
Celeste, may I ask you a question now that you've talked for a while?
Let me finish the other side of it.
Is there a period at the end of this?
Yes. The other side of it is that when somebody is in a jail, there's every reason to believe that people have contraband in jail. There's plenty of evidence that people will carry contraband into jail.
True.
And so, therefore, the general population of the jail and the people who work in the jail need to be safe, and therefore those searches need to be done.
Don't we have to do better before we put somebody in jail for 7 days?
I agree with you on that.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Oh, really? What determines the difference between us and civilizations that we decry and send troops to put down because what'd you say?
You're a smart person, and you can see that there's two issues here. I'm not disagreeing with you on the fact that it's heavy-handed to put him in jail for 7 days for a traffic offense.
Yeah.
However, the other side of that is, if you end up in a jail, you do need to be searched.
And Celeste, what about you going to jail for 7 days? How would you have felt?
You know what, Alan? I would understand that if I'm if I'm in a jail, then the people, they have no reason to believe that I'm not lying. They have no reason to believe that I'm an upstanding citizen. Because every interaction with people in jails, people in jails carry contraband.
Wait, you said that. That's the fourth or fifth time you've said the same thing. So let me ask you this. They put you in jail for 7 days before you get to see a judge. They inspect your every orifice and humiliate you in every way. And you say to us, I would understand it.
that is not the fault of the people in the jail. That's the fault of the law that puts the person in jail for a traffic offense.
And you think that there is no recourse, like the ability to sue, which is what the Supreme Court said
You're not welcome to.
Celeste, that's the whole point here. This right-wing Supreme Court, Kennedy being the decisive vote, and by the way, Kennedy is known for being a libertarian who does not believe in government interfering in the rights of people, and you say it's all right, and the court says because we have such a big criminal industry here and big prisons that we cannot allow people to sue. That's what they said.
Let me ask you a question. If you work in a jail,
yes,
would you fear for your safety if the person that you were handling had not been searched thoroughly?
Of course, but I'll tell you one thing.
And you should fear for your safety.
Well, I thought you asked me a question.
I asked you the question. Would you fear for your safety?
You asked the question I want to answer.
If a person that you were interacting with in a jail, I just want to make sure if you're answering the question.
Would you fear for your safety if the person that you were interacting with in the jail had not been searched thoroughly? Okay, I would fear for him. I presume you want an answer, or
yes.
Maybe you don't.
I want an answer.
I would, in fact, if I was a criminal justice person, I would want total control over everything. If I was running the prison, I would want nobody to be able to pull anything on me, but that's why
right.
we're a government of laws.
You want to go home to your wife at night.
Of course, and that's why we're a government of laws, because we put limitations on what people can do to other people. Celeste, thank you for your call. I don't think you can argue you didn't get your chance, right?
Thank you, Alan.
Okay. Let's go to Chris in Albany. All right, Chris in Albany, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I think it's pretty simple with Hillary Clinton's State Department experience, as well as through her husband's political experience and her own limited congressional experience. She's the obvious candidate for national office that has international implications, whereas Andrew Cuomo I kind of see as kind of the equal of Mitt Romney in a more effective government post. He's a governor of the great state of New York. He's definitely effective at getting his legislation before the media. You know, his bills do pass, even if they are changed along the way. But I don't think that he's going to have an impressive end whenever it is that he decides to either leave office or his term ends.
Why not, Chris?
Well, for example, the tax cap issue isn't a real tax cap. I've talked with you before about that. We disagree. I think the fact that a school board can raise taxes is absurd. Whatever the specific bill that was supposed to call to task members of the legislature, I can't remember the name of it, but it specifically did not apply to those that were already in elected office. If they had a felony, I think it was going to take their pension away. It's standard New York politics.
Well, I have concerns myself, as you know, Chris. I mean, I think the idea that he would take a wonderful civil servant like our comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, and say that his right to pre-audit major contracts should be taken away. So that if the firm was in some question, if you're following my drift, I think that was a terrible decision on Cuomo's part. I think the idea that he wanted to be able to single-handedly move money between the various executive accounts. Why do we have a Republican democracy in this country if in fact you want it all? And you want all of the power. So, yeah, I have some concerns.
And I think that Hillary Clinton has been, I politically don't align with her politics. However, I think she's been an effective Secretary of State. I think that she's generally liked from what I see on national and international media sources.
Yeah. She has higher polls than Obama.
Well, I mean, yeah. You know, if you remember the two campaigning, I don't think that a lot of people ripped her off, you know?
Yep.
And with the search issue in jails, I could not possibly imagine working inside a confined environment where if something occurs, people may or may not come to my assistance with someone that hasn't been searched. And I have two friends that were wrongly arrested on outstanding, I guess one was a traffic matter and the other one was a criminal matter that they'd already taken care of. One sued the city of Albany, and the other one, I think, sued the New York State Troopers. Both won their lawsuits. They got several thousand dollars each to spend. I think one 24 and the other one 72 hours in jail. They were both strip searched, and obviously I have major issues.
So, but
with
wait,
that.
But Chris, we get it. But is there a limitation on what? I mean, you can understand.
Of course, there's a limitation. Yeah. There has to be. But the point is, the jailer has to know that the cop on the street, as well as the judge or the magistrate, does their job, and that the clerk who's filing the paperwork does their job, and so on and so forth. And I don't think it's right to penalize the safety of the individual.
But I'm asking you, are there limitations? Yes. Are there limitations on what? Because this court is saying, hey, the way that I'm reading their decision, anything goes.
Well, I couldn't agree more. There definitely have to be limitations.
Well,
but
you better spell
those
out.
Protections within the limitations.
Well, that's right. But it's got to be a balance. Hey, Chris, I thank you for your call. We have a break coming up. We're going to take it, and we'll be right back for Howard and Marianne and Liza and Dan. Okay.
Support for Vox Pop comes from Hudson Valley Footwear in Rhinebeck, New York. Footwear for the family, including Vibram Five Fingers, Sunita Clogs, and Knot Oat Sandals, HudsonValleyShoes.com. NBT Bank, offering personal banking, financial planning, commercial and business banking, nbtbank.com, member FDIC. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, New York. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com for more information. And Richards Fuel and Heating, East Hampton, Massachusetts, offering installation of air conditioning systems to the Pioneer Valley, now expanding into the Westfield area, richardsfuel.com.
And all five phones have been ringing off the hook. I don't know why. I can't imagine why. Let's go to Howard in Del Mar. Howard, you're on.
Good afternoon, Mr. Shartok. How are you today?
Well, I'm good. How are you? That's more important.
Well, I'm very disgruntled at the moment because of that woman, Celeste, that called you us before. And I think if anyone who is a fascist, I think she is a prime example.
What did she call me? I didn't hear it. What did she call me?
I called her, not you, my friend.
No, what did she call me? You said she called me something. I don't know.
No. I said she...
Oh, she called before. I got it. Okay.
She is a fascist by all the definitions. No, she does not believe that there should be a control. She believes that the law enforcement should have all the power and all the decisions and all the discretions that they want. That's why our country is not a liberal democracy. That's why we are a fascist country.
Anyway, you keep throwing this word fascist around. What do you mean by it?
But it means that ruled by a very few individuals who are extremely right wing and extremely devoted to law and order.
Okay,
and
just to follow up, do you think, Howard, that you have a fascist Supreme Court right now?
Yes, of course we do.
Okay. All right, you're entitled to your say.
Well, of course I am. I'm an English American. Of course I am. Now listen, there is one thing important we should know is that Mrs. Clinton should not be running for the presidency. And I think Mr. Cornwell will be a lot better qualified.
Because why?
She has been contaminated by hypocrisy and lies.
Andrew Cuomo, for example, says, I will veto a law that allows these legislators to continue to set up their own districts where only they can win or where they have the best chance, don't you think there's a little hypocrisy when he doesn't do that?
That is an administrative... difficulty, not an international.
But if your character allows you to do what's expedient in one situation, so that you get your friends in the Republican Party, for example, as a Democrat, elected,
yes.
So to keep Skelos and his group in office, don't you think that portends badly later on?
It comes with being a politician. You know
I see. So some people are fascists,
yes.
But some people, you can call them names, but when other people do what you find inconvenient, that's just politics.
No, that's not what I said, and you know very, very well that it's correct. The other thing.
No, I don't know that very, very well. I know just the opposite very, very well. Go ahead.
I would like to say something
sure.
else,
okay.
if I may.
You may.
I think you cannot divorce our presidential elections from what is happening outside the country. And I think if Israel does not start a war with Iran from now on until November, perhaps we would have a president who would be able to rule. But if Israel starts a war and we get drawn into it, then it will be a different scenario altogether.
Okay, Howard, you've had your say.
Yes, sir.
And
bye-bye.
We appreciate your call. Thank you. Okay, let's go to Marianne in Ulster Park. Marianne, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to talk about the courts, but before I do that, I'd like to talk about the woman who called in and
Celeste?
Said that, you know. What's that?
Celeste?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so the woman, in my opinion, was wrong because if it were me and I know that I already paid my bill and I did everything I was supposed to do, the man had a copy of it, and the most important thing that I heard was in the end they said there is no way he could sue. I didn't know that. And this is a new policy.
Yes, that's a new policy. The Supreme Court made that policy 5-4. That's right. Same guys.
Right. Okay. So you want me to go back to the courts now?
I want you to do whatever you want.
Okay. So what I would like to say about the courts is, I'm sorry, I think they're fascists too. And it's right-wing extremism.
You don't mean all courts. You mean this court? Or do you mean all courts?
The Supreme Court.
Yeah. Okay, the 5-4 majority is what you're defining as fascist.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And, I just think that the decisions they're making, they know they're unfair, but they're so partisan that they feel that they have to march with that drum.
They, in other words, they have to march with the one who brought them to the dance. But my question to you is this, and this is something I often think about, Marianne. I use it with my students all the time. Let's say you put a lie detector on each of them, the five, and you said, we give them the Marianne test. Are you a hoe? Or are you somebody who really believes what you believe? Do you really believe in this stuff? And they all say yes. What do you get? A wavy line, meaning they're lying, or a straight line, meaning they're telling the truth?
A wavy line.
You see, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure with the Clarence Thomas and the other guys. When they go and they find these fellas, they know what they're looking for. I don't know. I don't know that it matters, to tell you the truth. But the real question of whether they believe it themselves or not is always fascinating to me. Marianne, thank you for the great call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Let's go to Liza in East Hampton. Liza, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I completely agree with you about the Supreme Court decision. And the caller who said that, you know, we have nothing to fear if we don't do anything wrong. He's not really paying attention to the state of our civil liberties in this country.
Right.
The president passed a bill saying that he can have the military arrest an American and detain them indefinitely on suspicion of terrorism. And now this, people can be strip searched. Our cell phone and other communications can be wiretapped at any time. The point is that the way things are going, we all have something to fear with the way things are going.
So
we don't have to have done anything wrong. All if we go and protest, peacefully assemble, as is our right under the Constitution, we've seen the videos of Occupy Wall Street and other Occupy movements where people are pepper sprayed, arrested for no reason whatsoever. Press people are arrested. Amy Goodman's arrested at the Republican convention. You know, she could have been arrested, put in jail. The same thing, cavity searches, the whole thing, maybe not touched, but that is an extremely humiliating thing to do to somebody, and it's the reason they do it.
And it's the reason...
Correctional officers do not get searched when they go into prison. How many times have we heard that cell phones, drugs, are smuggled in by correctional officers? You know, I mean, Come on. It's to humiliate.
Okay. Liza, you've made your point. We're trying to get everybody
Thank
in.
You.
I appreciate it. Appreciate
take care, Alan.
Yeah, take care.
Bye.
Yourself. Let's go to Daniel in Old Forge. Daniel, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my
sure.
call. I wanted to make a similar comment as your previous caller regarding the courts. You know, yesterday I caught the segment on NPR regarding that decision and had to explain to my 9-year-old daughter what it meant. And I think that, unfortunately, she understands more about police states versus our civil liberties than a lot of Americans understand today. And I just want to make the comment that I think that oftentimes when you have rights such as we have in this country, it's easy to become complacent about them and forget about how difficult it was to get those rights and throughout the world, how difficult it is for those people living in those police states to just get by in everyday life.
And give up their lives to make sure they can get it back and get their rights back again.
That's right, yes. I explained to my daughter, you know, as far as just searching private property and how, you know, you have to obtain a warrant for that and you have to have proper evidence to obtain that warrant, and how in a police state, none of that exists. They can just bang your door down and come in. And this right to strip search is very similar to that. There's really no cause, but they're still given that right.
Are you outraged by it, Daniel?
I am outraged by it, very much so, yeah, because I think of all of the people that are arrested for very minor offenses, peace protesters, for example, people that sit in protesting war that now can be actually strip searched.
That's a very interesting point. You know, they pull him out of Occupy Wall Street, they arrest him, they bring him into the you know, the holding area, and then they strip search him.
That's
and
right.
That is a punishment. It's not a protection. It's a punishment and a humiliation on the person who's getting strip searched.
That's right. And I think a deterrent, it's in some ways meant to be a deterrent, so those people will avoid putting themselves in that position anymore. So it's very scary to see this happening.
And by the way, it's nothing new. I mean, 1950s, when Hoover was at his best and HUAC and all the rest of it were doing their damage, that was part of it also. If you contest with the government, you're going to lose your job.
That's right.
Daniel, I think you make some profound points here, and I want to thank you for bringing it up and also for referencing your child, because after all, that's what comes next. And we have some protections back in the day, in the next day. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, yeah. Alan. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Let's go to Beth in Montgomery, New York, 1-800-348-2551. Go, Beth.
Hi, Alan. You're not going to be happy, but here's my opinion on the Supreme Court. The lower courts are so liberal, and they make their own laws, and they interpret the laws that are on the books in a very liberal way at times.
Mm-hmm.
So I consider the Supreme Court to be the ultimate check and balance on the lower courts.
I see.
And
So let me ask you a question. Assuming you're right, then can you explain something to me on the Obama health care law, where the five are clearly, you know, in a situation where they, you know, based on their obiter dicta from the bench, they're most likely to declare this thing. Now, they may not. Obama may be right. But I'm assuming that they are. The two cases that they got that were testing these laws, they came from liberal judges under your nomenclature, right?
Right.
Wrong. You fell for it. They were Beth, you fell for it. Now you're cooked. The two of the most reactionary right-wing judges in America. So maybe your premise is incorrect.
I'm not talking about other laws. When it comes
no,
to
you
states,
said lower courts.
Lower
and these
courts
two lower court judges are right-wing judges, and they
right.
came up and said there is no justification for declaring this law null and void.
And I just want to say something about strip searches.
Okay.
I have traveled many times by plane, and let me tell you, I find most humiliating at the airport.
Okay.
And I want to tell you why, and I really hate to see little old people. What they make the age, 75, they won't stay.
Okay,
won't
but
like
hurry up. Hurry up, Beth. Go
but
ahead.
I'm just saying that we live in different times, and I think that 9/11 has kind of shaped us for good or for bad.
So good or bad in the airport? Should they do the strip searches in the airport or not?
I think they should do more profiling, which people will probably be very upset about.
Sure.
But I know that LL has a 100% record because they do profiling.
Okay.
So I know it works out.
Beth, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Walter in Westfield. Walter in Westfield, we only have a few minutes. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to mention a quote from Mussolini, who invented fascism, and said he said himself that fascism would be better called corporate statism.
Uh-huh.
So I think that although the term fascist is used in an inflammatory way a lot,
indeed,
I think that it is literally an accurate description of our current government.
Okay. Okay. Walter, thank you. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah.
Let's go to Kathleen in South Cairo. Okay. Kathleen, you're on.
Hi. I'm an attorney. I want to make this quick and not be too legalistic.
Okay.
When I was in law school 20 years ago, I worked on a strip search case.
Right.
And the standard there was the plaintiff could recover if a clearly established constitutional right had been violated.
Yes.
Well, in 1979, the Supreme Court in Bell versus Wolfish,
yeah,
held you have to have reasonable suspicion that somebody has either weapons or contraband.
Okay, now what about this case?
Well, this court has completely ignored,
okay,
Bell versus Wolfish, which has been applied by seven circuit courts.
Which is why, Kathleen, it's a supra legislature.
Exactly right. And I want people to realize they've rejected a previous very clear holding that has been applied for over 30 years,
Kathleen,
across the country.
You had your shot. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Richard in Kingston. Very quickly, Richard, we're running out of time. Hurry, hurry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, as far as strip searches and airports go, TSA does not do strip searches. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
And as far as the Supreme Court justice goes, this decision was made because you're going into a security facility, and they have to make sure that anybody that goes into that facility is clean before they go into that facility, because people could be taking anything in there. And if they're going to be in the general population, and that's what this states, if you're going to general population, they need to know that you're clean if you're going into their facility.
Okay, so how would you solve, Richard, how would you solve this guy's problem? He did nothing wrong. He was in jail for 7 days. They made him hold up his testicles. Are you telling me that that's not humiliation and that we can't do better than that?
Of course it is, Alan. Of course it is. And I think our rights have gone way down the tubes with this Patriot Act crap and all of that they've put in. And we've lost a tremendous amount of rights. But I can understand the need for the search to go into jail. Now, if he was illegally jailed or wrongfully jailed, then he should have grounds for a lawsuit for illegal arrest.
You wouldn't have known that. You would not have known that reading their decision the other day. Hey, Richard, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to Kim in Greenfield. Kim, you're it. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. It's Kim.
Yep.
I just was wondering about the future of the Supreme Court.
Very good question.
This, 5-4 lock. And
right,
a new election coming up. Are people going to retire if Mitt Romney, God forbid, became president? Is there anyone that will hold on 4 more years if Obama gets another 4-year term?
Well, let me just answer your question as quickly as I can. The Republicans turn out to be very smart and very politically savvy. So what they did is they appointed young guys. People like Roberts and the others, they're relatively young, whereas the Democrats have not learned that lesson yet. So the people who will probably retire from the court in any case are going to be the Democrats. Now, there will be people who will argue with me, and as I did with Ralph Nader till I was blue in the face, it doesn't matter, he said, it doesn't matter who's on the Supreme Court. Well, we know now that it did matter. And we know now that it's ridiculous that if you waste your vote, that this is one of the reasons that one votes in an election, because you know that there is the super government known as the Supreme Court of the United States, which can come down with these 5-4 decisions and make these decisions the way they are. Forget about the United States Senate and the House of Representatives. We got one group that really counts here, 5-4.
And is there's no appeal? Is it like a 3/4 majority in
no,
Congress?
No.
Nothing.
No.
Their word is sacred until
Their word is sacred until somebody keels over.
Until the court changes hands. Well,
yeah.
So is there any recourse to
Well, you know what can happen in a case like this. I was talking to a congressman today, I don't want to mention his name, who was talking about if they come down against Obamacare, he said he thought there may well be people in the streets. You know what that means, right?
Yes.
And I don't think so. There weren't people in the streets with Gore versus Bush. There weren't people in the streets in Citizens United. There weren't on the strip search. And I don't think this is a country that goes to the streets.
Well, I mean, if they do for Trayvon in, you know, Sanford, Florida, I think that we need some more martyrs, some more poster children for health care
Could be. But, Kim, unfortunately, we're out of time. I thank you so much for the very good call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, so we are out of time. Believe it or not, we're out of time. Okay. Thanks to everybody for calling in. Thank you to Reform Pilates Studio, Saratoga Springs, New York, teaching Romana's Pilates, providing a fully equipped studio with GRATS apparatus, private, semi-private, and small group classes. ReformYourBody.com for information. Mario's True Value Home Center, Vallejo, New York. Two locally owned locations, open 7 days a week for building supplies, equipment rentals, and hardware needs, featuring Peachtree Doors and Windows, MariosTrueValue.com, Adventure Outfitters, Hadley, Massachusetts, offering outdoor clothing, camping equipment, ice skates, cross-country skis, snowshoes, climbing equipment, canoes and kayaks, open evenings until 9, AdventureOutfitters.com. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbeck. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok. And now, folks, I want you to stay tuned for a news update.